The 2nd of Samuel, chapter 7. This is an important chapter about God's promises to David. When the king lived in his house, and Yahweh had given him rest from all his enemies all around, but the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, I live in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains." Nathan said to the king, "Go and do all that's in your heart, for Yahweh is with you." Well, Nathan assumed that this was what God wanted. And he says, yeah, God thinks that's a great idea. And he also assumes that he thinks he can read David's heart. David has just said, look, I live in a nice house, but the ark is beneath the curtains of tents. And Nathan says, yeah, do that. So all the way through, Nathan assumes he knows what David means, and he assumes he knows what God intends. And actually, the message comes to Nathan that that is not at all what God wants. He doesn't want a physical temple. So don't assume that you know what God wants, but be humble and ask him all the time. It happened the same night that the word of Yahweh came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says Yahweh, shall you build me a house for me to dwell in? I haven't lived in a house since the day that I brought up the Israelites out of Egypt, even to this day, but have moved around in a tent and in a tabernacle." So God prefers to be mobile. He doesn't like fancy-pansy, great big buildings. That's not his style. "In all places in which I have walked with all the children of Israel, did I ever say a word to any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to be shepherd of my people Israel, saying, 'Why haven't you built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore you shall tell my servant David, 'Thus says Yahweh of armies, I took you from the sheep pen, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people, over Israel.'" So you see, God works with humble and with little people. And David was surely no more than a teenager, even less, possibly younger, when he was called. So really, you can see that God works with little things and little people, and he doesn't want some great, big, fantastic physical building. "I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones who are in the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first, and as from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. I will cause you to rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Yahweh tells you that Yahweh will make you a house." Now, a house in the Bible can mean both a family as well as a physical building of bricks and mortar. "When your days are fulfilled and you will sleep with your fathers," you see how death is a sleep, because the next we're going to know it's the resurrection. And just like you go to sleep and then the next you know you've woken up, so it is with the resurrection. So death is a sleep for the believers. "You shall sleep with your fathers, but I will set up your seed after you, who will proceed out of your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he commits sin, I will punish him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my loving kindness will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. Your house and your kingdom will be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision." So Nathan spoke to David. So this is quoted in the New Testament about Jesus, that he was the special son of David. He was the one who was this seed. And God says that I will be his father. And he shall be my son. So then, this child was also to be the son of David, the descendant of David. So it worked out that somebody, a woman in the line of David, had to have a baby and would be made pregnant with that baby by God, that God would be the father. Not any man, but God. So it could be fulfilled that this person would be the son of God, as well as the descendant of David. So it had to be that there was a woman, because God was going to be the father, so the woman was through whom the line would go back to David, there had to be a woman in the line of David who God would make pregnant with a baby who would be his son. And this was the great significance of the virgin birth through Mary. So he was going to have an everlasting kingdom. I will set up or resurrect your seed after you, who will proceed out of your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And this kingdom would be forever. And he would reign on the throne of David forever. Well, the fulfillment is, of course, in Jesus, as the angel Gabriel makes clear. But the point is that Jesus then was the descendant of David. That means that he did not exist physically before he was born. He was the descendant of David, the descendant of Abraham, the descendant of Eve, the seed of the woman, all the way through. He was a promised descendant, and of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of course. So then, Jesus did not exist before he was born. He was, of course, in the mind and plan and purpose of God. But he didn't literally physically exist, nor did he come physically floating down through the clouds from heaven to earth when he was born. He was conceived, he began inside the womb of Mary. Then David the king went in and sat before Yahweh. Now you see how to be before Yahweh doesn't mean that God was like personally there. It means his representatives were there. And so it is with how God is manifest in people and in Jesus today. And he said, "Who am I, Lord Yahweh, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" And that's how we should be. Who am I? Who am I that you should make these promises of eternal life to me? And this was yet a small thing in your eyes, Lord Yahweh, but you've spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. This is not the way of men, Lord Yahweh. You see, God's grace is totally different to the way of men. Men and women don't show grace, really, of themselves. It is all of God. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, Lord Yahweh. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you've worked all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore you are great, Yahweh God, for there's none like you. There is no God besides you, according to all that we've heard with our ears. What one nation in the earth is like your people, Israel, whom God went to redeem to himself for the people, and to make himself a name, and to do great things for you, and awesome things for your land, before your people, whom you redeemed to yourself out of Egypt, from the nations and their gods. You established for yourself your people Israel to be a people to you forever, and you, Yahweh, became their God. Now, Yahweh God, the word that you've spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, confirm it forever, and do as you have spoken. Let your name be magnified forever, saying, Yahweh of armies is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David shall be established before you. For you, Yahweh of armies, the God of Israel, have revealed to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore your servant has found in his heart to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Lord Yahweh, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. In other words, he's saying, I believe this. Like we should say, when God makes these amazing promises to us personally, that we will be in the kingdom. You know, who am I that I should be there? But I do believe this. Your words are true. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, Lord Yahweh, have spoken it. Let the house of your servant be blessed forever with your blessing.